GE votes for centrifugal force, with news that conglomerate is spinning off into three chunks. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news this morning that the General Electric Corporation, which never found a groove after the last financial crisis, will cleave itself into three. To help visualize this, let's consider icons. Instead of the GE logo symbolizing a diversified conglomerate, consider instead the shape of a GE jet engine, a power plant, and a CAT scanner, aviation, energy, and health. The stock is up 6% in early trading now.
It's one of the classic sprawling messes. Prior CEOs prided themselves on building this huge conglomerate. They were famous for it, and it worked until it didn't.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Now, Eric, GE stock has been doing well like most of the market over the past year, but if you look over the last 5 years, a turbojet it has not been.
Not so hot, less than half its price 5 years ago.
Some of it is it never fully recovered from the great financial crisis around 2008 and 2009. It had this big financial arm, big trouble there. What does it do for a company if it splits itself into bits?
The idea, or at least the hope, is that each bit appeals to a specific kind of investor more than the whole conglomerate put together. So, for example, GE is going to spin off its healthcare business. If you're an investor who likes healthcare, that's probably worth more to you as a pure play than when it was jammed in with energy and aviation and who knows what else in GE.
And maybe other companies you have in mind might also get this GE treatment?
Yeah, some of them are going to do it voluntarily, and some of them might do it involuntarily. Macy's is under a lot of pressure from an activist investor who says, split the e-commerce business from the bricks and mortar business. Separately, the sum of the parts adds up to more than the whole.
Remember Kraft, the foods company? It split itself into New Kraft and Mondelez. I've seen their headquarters here in New Jersey. Not a huge success.
No. Looked good on paper, but neither company did all that well split up. If you have a few mediocre businesses jammed together, when you split them up, you have two separate mediocre businesses.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure, David.
It's become the longest string of new closing highs for the S&P 500 stock index since the first dot-com exuberance of the late 1990s. There's a new record yesterday for the S&P and the Dow. Some of this is wealthier people have been doing well in this complex pandemic recovery. And while some stock prices are markedly outrunning the underlying profits of the companies they represent, others are less, quote-unquote, expensive. This may be a good moment here in November for people to poke through their portfolios if they have them. David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds.
I think a lot of people have been on autopilot. I mean, the confusion of the pandemic and all the liquidity supplied by the central banks has really caused people to push into passive investing, into index funds. But when we look across markets and even within the stock market, we see a lot of things that are mispriced. They're just carrying the wrong price tag. I think this is really time to take a careful look at what you own and make sure you're owning some of the stuff that is really properly priced as opposed to some of the stuff that's pretty expensive.
Now, the effects of the cargo ships delayed offloading at West Coast ports. Benjamin Gottlieb of KCRW in Southern California checked in with retailers feeling this downstream.
Nina, are you available? Nina Foreman works at Blick Art Materials in central LA, and she says she's become used to disappointed customers.
It's been getting, honestly, harder and harder, like telling the customers that we don't have it.
She's pointing to a section in her paint aisle where they usually sell a type of varnish.
Yeah, shelves have been empty. I haven't seen anything in this row for four or five months now.
Things like a certain color of paint or Blix branded brushes. Just above the port complex in LA, there's a queue of cargo ships that stretches off into the distance, waiting to get in. About 2,000 miles away, Pamela McMillan has been keeping track of those ships from her office in Illinois. She's in charge of purchasing art supplies for Blick and knows which ships have her products.
We have out of stocks, I won't lie. However, we've been building to this.
As in anticipating this would happen. McMillan says she started over-ordering well before the ports got jammed to try to make sure her shelves will be stocked. But for folks like Isaac Lorraine, a lot of his product is sitting on cargo ships right now. He's the CEO of the toy manufacturing company MGA Entertainment in LA County. It makes Bratz and LOL surprise dolls, among some other things. And I asked him just how many containers he has sitting ready to unload.
God, I gave up counting because it's very depressing. I really did. I mean, we had, I think, about 960. It goes up and down.
Lorraine says many of his products are on store shelves now, but toys to fulfill holiday demand?
Our inventory is sitting on factory floors because of lack of containers.
He says it used to take 14 days to ship his products from China to LA. But now he says his toys have been stuck on ships for more than a month, and there's just no guarantee they're going to be widely available for the holidays. In Los Angeles, I'm Benjamin Gottlieb for Marketplace.
Well, Christmas in March, I guess. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.